independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
It can take anywhere from 10, if you're really good, 10 years to 20 years. And then they vote and you lose. And it costs sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars just to go through the process.
That's the president, Trump, talking about infrastructure. How long it takes to get permits. Pulled out this giant paper today that had, I couldn't even tell you what it was, right? I couldn't even tell you. It looks like one of those things when you watch one of those mob shows and they have like a guy up top and then they have his like lieutenants and then the capos and lines are pointing everywhere and this guy here and he reports that. It was crazy. It was crazy. Why it matters is because it goes to show you what government really does, which is get in the way of who you and I are as people who are in this economy, as business owners, as employees. They put up wall after wall, roadblock after roadblock, roadblock after roadblock. 10 to 20 years to get something improved? Are you kidding me? 10 to 20 years to get something through? 10 to 20 years it takes just to get a permit to do something? And you got to go through permit after permit. And then you, all of a sudden, I got this permit. From that permit, I've got to go and get this. And this thing's going to take me over here. That thing's going to take me here. Over here, I go, oh, geez. That's crazy. How does anything get done? When you get so big, sometimes it's tough. It's tough. But it's not impossible. But how tough really is it? It's more about jumping through hoops. That is the fight that we have. When I look at this government, and I do look at it, my hope is that he is going to change the attitude in the government to get stuff done. He is not an ideologue. He is not somebody who is going to go down party lines. He's willing to talk to anybody to get things done because to him, it's about the end game. It's not about the political process. For them, it's about the political process. The political process gets people who are senators and congressmen and women reelected over and over again. Not the end game, because they play just a small puzzle piece in that. For a president, it's about the end game. The reflection of who you are is what did you get done? Did you get it did? Because if you got it did, great. If not, that's a reflection upon you. He wants to get stuff done. I like that. I'm about finding solutions to problems. I'm not about the problem itself.
We're going to try and take that process from a minimum of 10 years down to 1 year. I said, can't we make it 4 months?
Can't we make it 4 months? Even a year, it's ridiculous. These are the regulations. These are the silliness that we talk about. Why it takes a long time to get things done. Listen to this right here. This soundbite is so telling. When he's talking about what it takes to get some of these infrastructure problems done, and then we're not talking about large infrastructure problems, we're just talking about infrastructure projects in general. Listen to how many agencies that you have to go through and how many permits you have to have before things start to get did.
This is anywhere from a 10 to a 20-year process. You have, is it 17 agencies? You have hundreds and hundreds of permits.
17 agencies, hundreds and hundreds of permits. That, to me, does not seem like something that's conducive to getting things done. That seems like, that's going to take a while to get stuff done. That seems like, that is going to be something there that's going to take us a while to get everything finished or even started. It's crazy. It's insane. Yes, it is the world that we live in. But it's time that we start looking at doing things a different way. Last hour we had on a guy that I love what he's doing, the Centrist Project. Just because you say you're a centrist doesn't mean you don't have a side on certain items. What it means is I've come into something and I will decide on that, how I feel, right? If you want the truth in life, what's the old saying? If you want the truth, you can't come in with an opinion. Because if you come in with an opinion, you've already got an opinion, so you're looking at it from one point of view. You've got to be willing to come into something and say, all right. I preach it all the time here. I know it becomes a little preachy at times, but let me tell you something. There is nothing wrong with saying, okay, that election's over. I wiped the slate clean. Now let's see what happens. I think inherently we're a center-right company, a country, but doesn't mean we're all center-right on everything. But we've got to do better. We've got to find a way to get people to work for us, because that is the thing that we need to remind them, is they work for us. When you have to go through 17 agencies and pull hundreds of permits to get something done, that doesn't sound like it's going to be resourceful, and it doesn't sound like that it's going to get done in a timely fashion. Right now, people in Atlanta are dealing with the fact that the, was it 85, burned down. Now, because it's through a massive thoroughfare, one of the big arteries in the city, how fast will it get done, repaired? I don't know. But if the city and the government has anything to do with it at the pace that they move, it'll get done sooner rather than later. But that's not always the case. California, several years ago, there was a tanker that overturned in Oakland, and it burned down part of the 5 connector. Massive artery right there between San Francisco, shoots you to San Francisco, through Oakland, or into Sacramento. Huge. City says it's going to take years. State says, oh my God, I don't know how long this thing's going to take. So they decided to bid it out to contractors out there that were willing to do something like this and take it on, see if they can do something better. And they said, look, if you can get it done in X amount of days, we'll give you a bonus. We're talking about losing an overpass in one of the busiest cities in the world. Guy came in, and I think he did it within 60 days. What would have took years, because they got out of the way and let them do it. He worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, nonstop, crew after crew, in, out, in, out, in, out. Got it done, got the bonus. It's what we can do. It's about finding solutions to problems, like anything in life, right? If you really want something bad enough, you'll find a way to make it work. Government does the exact opposite of that. Gets in our way, slows us down, puts the brakes on. And when you say, oh, Chad, you're talking about, you know, all these things are going to affect the climate change, all these things are going to hurt the poor, all these things. Look, I'm all about regulation to a certain extent. Hurt the poor how? Just curious. I'm curious about how it hurts the poor when we have a booming economy, when we have less government intrusiveness inside of our lives. You're more worried about, well, they'll be able to take the money and the people that are running these companies will get richer and richer. Let's be real. That's what you're focused on. You're not focused on the other thing. We've got to be honest, though. We've got to find a better way to do the things that we're doing now. And that is by putting people in place that are willing to go to Washington, to your state capitol, to wherever it is that you need to, that you send people to make sure that they're there to represent a growing voice, that there are people like you and I who are over the way that government has gone. We're getting ready to have the quote-unquote nuclear option set for Thursday. We're actually going to talk to Rachel Bavard from the Heritage Foundation about the nuclear option in Gorsuch. We are so far polarized, so far divided, nothing gets done. Nothing gets done. Period. Case closed. End of story. These people aren't interested in doing anything at all. That's why I've hoped that this president is going to start doing some stuff, rolling back regulations, putting into place the opportunity to see this engine that is our economy explode and do something. But when you listen to that, oh my God, did you find out that we have X, Y, and Z amount of agencies you have to go through? And that, oh my goodness, did you find out you have to have hundreds of permits and it costs who knows how long? And then there's a vote. Does that sound like something that's productive? Imagine at your work today, if every time you wanted to do something at work, you had to submit something, get a permit for it, then go to another part of your office, get another permit for it, then go to another part of your office, get another permit for it, go back, make the changes to the thing. Then people will vote for it in a couple of weeks. You'd lose your mind and nothing get done. Nothing. Nothing. Speaking of getting done, you're better than that. You're a forward-thinking individual like myself. You say to yourself, self, I'm busy. I'm getting on with my life, doing a lot of different things, but I do have a mother. I do have a wife. I do have a husband. I do have a girlfriend, a boyfriend. And I got to make sure that I take care of them. Flowers. Sounds great, but I'm afraid. Chad, have you forgot? Oh, I have forgot. Not something you want to do. Birthday, anniversary, you name it. You're the doghouse. Literally, you got to go outside and sleep in the doghouse. No longer just sleeping on the couch. You're in a doghouse. Don't be that guy, that gal. Pull Flowers launched a brand new service called Pro Gifter. Easiest fail-proof way to make sure you look amazing all year. Pro Gifter service allows you to schedule 3 bouquet deliveries, same or different, to 3 addresses up to a year in advance. If you procrastinate, if you forget, don't worry. This service is for you. It has your back. You get 3 bouquets with vases, free shipping, all for $99. You save $70. You look amazing throughout the year. They buy direct, Pro Flowers does. 7-day freshness guarantee. Pass a 7-day quality check before being shipped, so you know they're going to look amazing. I know you're thinking of an occasion you send flowers for right now. Go to proflowers.com. Look for the Pro Gifter banner right on the homepage. Pick your flowers, set the delivery dates, and boom, you're done. That's proflowers.com. Look for the Pro Gifter banner. It's the Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
You know, I was going to do What's Next about rogue states. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow because I want to talk about another rogue state. North Korea. It is time for them to go. You are a horrible individual. It is time for you to go. Assad regime. What the hell happened today? Why is there chemical weapons killing children? Do they pose a threat to you? Are you blaming ISIS? Are you blaming the Russians? Are you blaming Iran? Who's stepping in here? Enough. My God. You know, for police, we don't do a great job because nobody ever wants to step in. Everybody wants, we want equality in the world. Let's look to the UN. The UN couldn't break up a cookie fight at a Girl Scout convention. They are useless. Let me tell you, I've had enough of this little twerp, this fat, little, obnoxious, narcissistic asshat in North Korea who seems to be hell-bent on trying to do something. China is going to be joining the president this week. Xi Jinping. And President Trump has said, hey, look, you know what? It's time that we're going to talk about it. It's going to be number one on the list. Trade's going to be there. But right now, you need to get a leash on that dog. And better yet, it's time you took that dog and put it to sleep. You have people who are starving, who are oppressed, who are brainwashed. You couldn't hand them democracy. They wouldn't know what the hell hit them. Cannibalism's on the rise. What's next for these people? You know what? At the rate this guy's going, full-fledged nuclear war. Knowing full well he's not going to do that because he doesn't have the cojones to try it. Secondly, he knows if he shoots something off, it's going to go out about 600 miles and fall apart. But I tell you what, he's insane. He is. I hope that Trump looks at him and said, dude, we're going to talk trade right now, and trade is going to depend on this. You, Xi Jinping, get a leash on that dog or I'm going to make it so companies have no chance of operating here. Period. Case closed. End of story. Before this cat goes, look, it's all about negotiation, but he knows it too. They all know it. They all know it. He's that horrible cousin or brother you got to bail out of jail every 6 weeks because he does something stupid. What's next for these poor people there? God, it is horrible. That's a rogue state. Syria is a mess. How about the UN? What are they doing? What's next for them? Hopefully, they go away. They are as useless as the League of Nations was, and they're useless now. Absolutely, 100% useless. It's time that we start getting tough and we start looking at these nations and saying, you know what? We're going to batten down the hatches. You guys do what you think you need to do. If anything escapes there and lands on our doorsteps, we will eviscerate you. We will kill you so bad that people who have already died will die again, and people who are not yet born will never be born. There's your apples. How do you like them? The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Neil Gorsuch will be the next Supreme Court justice. That we know. What is it going to be? The nuclear option? Rachel Bavard from the Heritage Foundation is going to join us next to talk about this, how we got to this place where the nuclear option seems to be the only option anywhere anymore, whether it be diplomacy or human being interaction. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Senator McConnell is willing to be reasonable and cooperate in a bipartisan way. We can avoid the nuclear option.
I'm not quite sure there. Chuck Schumi there, the Schumster. Schumer, the nuclear option. Is it here? Apparently they're looking towards Thursday, but we will see. We've got somebody who is far more intelligent on this than we are. Rachel Bavard, Director of Policy Services and Outreach at the Heritage Foundation, joins us. So, Rachel, it looks like it is high drama in D.C., and we may be pushing the nuclear option. For those people out there who don't understand what that is, what's the nuclear option?
Well, essentially, the nuclear option will get rid of the filibuster for Supreme Court judges. You may recall in 2013, then-Majority Leader Harry Reid got rid of the filibuster for all judges below the Supreme Court and cabinet officials. That's why Trump's cabinet was able to be confirmed. No one was able to filibuster them. So this would get rid of the filibuster for the last class of judicial nominees, and those are nominees to the Supreme Court.
How did we get here? You know, you look back at the likes of, and here's a perfect example. You look back at two great judges that we have, whether you believe in their politics or not, they've been, you know, longstanding, and Anton Scalia, and you've got Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Both of them were almost unanimously elected. And now we're at the point where we're going to do something so unprecedented. It just screams to me that Washington has never been as divided as it is now.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, you sort of seen the breakdown of comedy in the Senate, and that's, you know, the tradition and sort of respect for opposition that has allowed the Senate to function for essentially the last, you know, couple of centuries. And you saw Harry Reid sort of breach this divide in 2013 when he went nuclear on lower court judges. And at the time, opponents of that move said, hey, it's a slippery slope. You know, once you start going nuclear, you know, any party can do it, you know, for, or it becomes a lot easier for any party to do it for any filibuster, you know, that seems to get in the way of what they want to do. And that's exactly what you're seeing now. Interestingly, the Senate does have another option. They have an option within their rules to overcome a filibuster. It's called the two-speech rule. But it requires a lot of work to implement, but it does guarantee to break a filibuster if they use it correctly. But instead, Mitch McConnell, it looks like he's going to go nuclear.
He's going to go nuclear. He goes nuclear. Obviously, the president has suffered a little bit here with the failure to get health care done. Does that make the nuclear option even more of a necessity right now, because you don't want to look like you didn't get health care done and now you can't get your Supreme Court justice out there? So does that look like it's more like this has to get done?
Well, I do think that's driving a little bit of the action here. I mean, if you look at sort of the breakdown and exit polls in the last election, the idea of, you know, getting a Supreme Court justice, a conservative justice, drove a lot of people to the polls. It's essentially why people went out and voted for President Trump, you know, maybe that otherwise wouldn't have. It was a big reason that people wanted Trump elected. And so I do think there's a little bit of pressure on Republicans to deliver on that promise. But like I said, they have a rules option to do that, the two-speech rule. They don't have to go nuclear. But I do think, you know, based on the comments from President Trump saying he's fine with going nuclear, you know, I think it's added some, you know, weight, I think, a little bit to the discussion and sort of pushed Republicans over that edge.
Talking to Rachel Brevard, she is from the Heritage Foundation, as we talk about the Gorsuch nomination. I look at all of this, and you look at the fact is this guy has got all the credentials that are out there. If you're a Democrat, you just don't like him because he's been appointed by a conservative. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, if we can't agree on almost essentially a like-for-like change, it really doesn't change the balance of power when it comes to the Supreme Court at this moment in time. Is there anything these people will ever agree on whatsoever? Because if they can't get this through, are they ever going to allow any of his cabinet, any of the other people that have to go through hearings to get through?
Well, I think that's an interesting point. I mean, if the Democrats are successful, or, you know, if they were successful in filibustering Gorsuch, it would be the first time ever that a Supreme Court nominee would fall to a partisan filibuster. And, you know, what's interesting is if you've watched them, they've really tried to paint Neil Gorsuch as outside the mainstream, but they haven't been able to. I mean, the guy is, you know, well-educated, eminently qualified, you know, well within the realm of what's acceptable, you know, in his jurisprudence. And Democrats have, you know, just their only objection has been, but he's not Merrick Garland, which is not a substantive objection. So it's really, you know, the Democrats' actions on this have really been partisan driven. And it's, you know, I think painted a picture of how divided our politics are, especially in Washington, D.C. But I think what's interesting is that, you know, the cabinet nominees are going to get confirmed because Reid went nuclear. I mean, that's the flip side of going nuclear, right? Democrats said, we got rid of the filibuster, but now the joke's on them, kind of, because all of Trump's cabinet got confirmed, you know, without the filibuster.
You know, it's funny you talk about, like, you know, it wasn't Merrick Garland, but wasn't that really kind of the whole Biden effect there? That they all thought, hey, you're not going to give anybody a hearing back in the day when he was, you know, just a lowly politician rather than the vice president. Where, you know, in this last year, if it's a campaign year, nobody's getting a hearing and chance to replace the judge. They've kind of done a lot of this to themselves, the Democrats have.
No, I think that's right. There's two important points, I think, to bring up. First, that you mentioned the Biden rule, and that's this idea that you don't confirm a Supreme Court justice in an election year. You know, and that was what Biden laid out in 1992, and it was sort of the tradition the Senate followed. And so Republicans argued they were following Biden's, you know, precedent, essentially. And the second thing is, you know, there is nothing in the Constitution that requires the Senate to confirm. Simply because a Supreme Court justice has been nominated, the Senate doesn't rubber stamp. The Constitution says the Senate, it gives advice and consents. So it's well within the Senate's, you know, realm of action to, you know, take action or not take action. That's up to the Senate. And, you know, the Republicans chose the latter, you know, last year. And Republicans have tried to paint that as somehow hostile to the Supreme Court process. But it's well within their rights, well within their constitutional duties.
Talking to Rachel Brevard from the Heritage Foundation. You look at the Democrats and everything this president does now, they cry wolf. You know, it's the sky is falling. You would think at some point in time that they would pick and choose their battles, because I don't think that, you know, you figured if the battle, if you're going to try to really do something, it's if next summer, you know, somebody on the left side of the court decides they've had enough, they unfortunately pass away, or they can no longer do, you know, their judging stuff. You would think then you would put up the fight. To do it this early in the game, are they feeling like, hey, with the Russia stuff, with the fact that they couldn't do health care, we smell blood in the water, and we can weaken this president to make his next 4 years seem completely as if it's the biggest nightmare of his life?
Well, it's interesting because they seem to be acting at the behest of the sort of fringe wing of their base. You know, a lot of Democrats, you know, internally have been saying, look, like, this guy's not that bad. And like you said, he's not going to change the ideological balance of the court. It's going to, you know, be the same. We should save our firepower for what will probably be a second vacancy, you know, which will matter a lot more in terms of an ideological shift. But, you know, then you see this fringe on the left of people protesting at Chuck Schumer's apartment saying, no, you have to fight this president every possible turn. And you've sort of seen the Democrats sort of grudgingly say, OK, you know, they're sort of kowtowing to this fringe wing. And it's basically not been smart for them politically. I mean, they've looked obstructionist, opposing a guy who really seems very, you know, mainstream to most Americans. And so I think you're absolutely right. Like, if they were going to protest, if they were going to go to the mat and die on this hill, a second vacancy would be the place to do it. But now what's happened is McConnell will likely go nuclear, sort of just neutering them, you know, the second time around. At this point, you know, they've set it up so Trump can pick a super conservative ideologue for the second vacancy, and they have no means to stop it.
No, they've had no means to stop it, and they've put themselves to this. On the flip side of this, the Democrats end up getting, like you said, essentially neutered in this next one, and there may be another vacancy because, you know, we're hearing stuff all the time that, you know, and again, there's a few of them that are up in age. Their health hasn't always been great. It really sets them up to make Chuck Schumer look like an idiot over the next, you know, 24 months. And to, you know, they could lose everything right here on this hill before the war even starts.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they've really wasted all their firepower on a guy, like I said, who most Americans feel is, you know, pretty mainstream and, again, isn't shifting the balance of the court. So, you know, effectively, if McConnell goes nuclear, he's taking the gas out of their tank. You know, the second vacancy opens up, Democrats have nothing. And, you know, maybe somebody, you know, maybe the court doesn't change. But if it does, Democrats have zero means to stop the second nomination because McConnell will have said, if you're going to filibuster me, the result is we're going nuclear, boom, done. You know, Democrats, enjoy your walk in the wilderness for the next 4 years when it comes to the Supreme Court.
Speaking of that, I was talking to Rachel Brevard from the Heritage Foundation as we talk about Gorsuch and the Supreme Court. You look at the Supreme Court, you look at what's starting to happen here, and Gorsuch is going to be replaced in there. The fear for so many people out there and that fringe element that, like you said, show up at Schumer's house and saying, you got to do this, you got to do this. You know, when I watch these hearings, can we just be honest and say, look, how do you feel about gay marriage? How do you feel about Roe versus Wade? And would you over? Because that's what those people want to know. It's one or two things. They don't care about how you ruled one way or another on some small little class action suit. It's one or two social issues that people are terrified of when it comes to this guy.
So I think that's right. But if you watch the, you know, all 20 some hours of the Gorsuch confirmation hearings, you know, you've seen him be very careful. You've seen him say, look, my job is not to make the law. That's Congress's job. My job is to interpret the law. And if I'm sitting on the Judiciary Committee, that comforts me. And if I'm a liberal, that comforts me, you know, because this guy understands that the law is the law. He's not there to overturn it. He's not there to, you know, give it new intent and new meaning. He's there to interpret what Congress does. And that's what conservatives understand the job of a judge to be. You know, liberals like to appoint these activist judges who, you know, think that they can sort of, you know, understand some hidden intent of the law and apply new meaning to it. Gorsuch is not that. That's the originalist version of the law. And to be honest, liberals should be comforted by that because they're going to put a guy on the court, you know, that's not going to seek to overturn all these precedents that they hold so dear. Neil Gorsuch has committed himself to interpreting the law, not making new law. And that's, again, the proper role of the judiciary.
Her name is Rachel Brevard. She's from the Heritage Foundation. We have found out everything we need to know about Gorsuch. She has already predicted in the future that the nuclear option will be used. Can we put you on record for that, Rachel?
Well, one thing 10 years in D.C. has taught me is that I'm usually wrong, but sure, go ahead and put me on record for that.
Appreciate you coming on today. Thanks so very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, CHADBENSON. It's we're so divided. We're so divided. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. Call in as well, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Call it ridiculous. We call it reality with a twist. Say what?
Judge Gorsuch showed a remarkable talent for creatively interpreting the law in ways that benefited large corporations, right-wing groups, and their wealthy anonymous funders picked him for one reason, because they know that he will be their ally.
I'm not. That was Pocahontas there. Elizabeth Warren speaking from her teepee. She says, Judge Gorsuch, make very much rain dollar bills on corporations. Is that horrible? Does that feel a little bit horrible, Phil?
It's
laughing. A little I know you're laughing.
But it's funny.
It is. It's honest. Judge Gorsuch. Oh, goodness me. Why are we so divided? I'm just curious. Like, I have so many friends who are both liberal and conservative. I have no problem with either of them. I have friends who are Jewish, who are Muslim. I have friends I play soccer with. They're Muslims. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we get along just fine. I have friends who are atheists. I have friends who, I mean, I don't see how people get this way. And it's money, it's power. I get it, but... You know, I mean, I can't blame politicians at this point anymore. I blame us. I blame us for putting the wrong people in positions to represent our interest in D.C. I really do. I blame that. That's us. That's on us at this point in time. That's on us.
Said she turned around and just the head of it was coming in on a wave towards her and... You know, she said, you know, she turned to swim back to shore, and she said she felt it just grab her and, you know, lift her off of the bottom.
Caitlin's mother said her daughter managed to get away by punching the shark in the nose.
Ah, youngster swimming in the Florida panhandle, a little shark roll on up, take a nibble, nibble. She turns around. Right in the nose. Think there was a referee out there that called the fight. She survived. She got 80 stitches. That just goes to show you that one of those was a 5-foot shark, probably a bull shark, but just one of those sharks, one of those the a 5-footer, which is nowhere near being full grown. Which is nowhere near being deadly, that it gave her 80 stitches. Think about that for a second. Is that crazy? Now, here's something for you. And producer Phil, I want you to chime on this. Is that not the greatest story you now have for the rest of your life?
Well, aside from the 80 stitches, yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you're going to be fine. She got cut on her foot. It was horrible. Chad, you're just saying it. No, but it is a conversation. It's like the Ebola virus thing, right? You catch the Ebola virus and survive it. You have a conversation starter for the rest of your life. Right? Oh, here comes Chad. He's going to talk about the fact that he got the Ebola virus. And look at him now. I mean, it is. It's a conversation starter. I'm glad she survived. 5-footer, not deadly, but a conversation. Like if your choice is to be a tail, here's something, Phil. Your choice is you're going to live, but you're going to get a bite. Do you want a shark, or do you want a claw from a bear?
See, I don't like pain, so either one of those is nasty to me.
Yeah. I'm thinking I'm going to go shark. I'm going to go shark. I think shark would just, that's such a conversation starter. And on top of that, it also now makes sure that you never have to go to the beach and get sand all over again. He's like, I just don't like the beach anymore. I don't want to talk about what happened. Oh, yeah. And somebody's like, oh, yeah, Chad got attacked by a shark. What even shocker? So it's like it's the perfect out. It's the perfect opt out of ever going to the beach. Ever. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Several text messages coming in about Gorsuch, about taxes, about regulations. We'll get to some of those as well. You can also go to ChadBensonShow.com, pick up the podcast, check out all the goodies we've got on there. And oh, yeah, it's all for free, kids. The Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.